Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired. Some owner's going to do that. He's going to say, that guy that disrespects our flag, he's fired.
Taking a knee or sitting during a national anthem has never been about disrespecting this country, has never been about disrespecting the flag, but it's been about bringing unity to America as a whole. I know we live in a great country. I think we're all proud of where we live, but there is some work to be done on both ends.
That is President Donald Trump and retired pro football player Anquan Boldin talking about the NFL players protesting during the national anthem, a common scene now for players to so-called take a knee. They're on one knee during the national anthem, and the president seems rather unhappy about it. Is there something wrong with the NFL end of these national anthem protests? We're going to be talking about that with Molly Hemingway of Fox News here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Molly, we're going to do part three of our series on congregational membership with Pastor Peter Speckard, author of the book Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. We're going to talk about membership as more than pray, pay, and obey. Then we're going to spend some time with Kelly Schumacher discussing the vocation of singleness. She says there's been something missing from a lot of Christian conversation about singleness as a Christian vocation. And Pastor Tom Baker will be with us in the last half hour to teach a Sunday school lesson today, Elijah Taken to Heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2. Joining us to discuss the NFL's national anthem protests, Molly Hemingway. She's a regular guest, a Fox News contributor, senior editor at The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Five Problems with the NFL's National Anthem Protest. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It is great to be here with you.
Before we turn to the gridiron, so to speak, what's the latest on the attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare?
Oh, well, what is the latest? The latest is that it is apparently the most recent effort, which was legislation authored by Senators Graham and Cassidy, appears to not have a path forward at the time being. For one thing, Senator John McCain said he wouldn't support it, and that left a lot of pressure on Susan Collins and Rand Paul. And Rand Paul is much more flexible, but Susan Collins yesterday announced that she would not be supporting it, so they don't have enough votes to pass it. And they had been saying that they had a September 30 deadline, and technically there's a bit of a deadline with September 30th to get something done, but there are a lot of something needs to happen. It's not going to happen by the 30th, so they're back to the drawing board. But it is a frustrating moment for a lot of people who voted for Republicans on the promise that they would repeal Obamacare. That's obviously not going to happen, but not even sure if a proper fix of Obamacare will happen at this point.
So turning to the subject of the NFL national anthem protests, am I a bad Christian for not really caring that much about who is standing and who is kneeling before an NFL game?
I might make you a good Christian. I'm not sure. It is an interesting topic that has really captured the passion of a lot of people. And it actually, you know, it's an unimportant topic in one way. People seem to think that the flag is something that must be honored and respected at all costs. They seem to have more of a concern for the flag than they do the cross of Christ, you know, something for which a lot of people don't even care if people are bowing before or whatnot. On the other hand, it is important how people view their country and how they perceive the values that their country upholds. And I think that this division that we're seeing, which is disrespect to the flag or to the national anthem, as articulated by Colin Kaepernick, who started the protest movement, he said he intended it as disrespect to the flag, and people who think that such disrespect is problematic. This really does get to the heart of how people perceive their country. And if I could just kind of explain this a little bit, there are people who have been frustrated with failures in this country since its inception, and they viewed the ideals that were contained in the founding documents, the principles in the Declaration of Independence, that we are all created equal, that we're endowed by God with certain inalienable rights, and that we failed to accomplish that, but that's a good ideal. And so you see the revolutionaries, Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, they all speak to the ideals in these documents, and they have a lot of respect for the country and its symbols. There's also a strain that's been there throughout the entire history of our country of people who just don't believe in the Declaration, or they think it's a lie. Either they don't like the way that it's presented, or they think that the country is so irredeemably corrupt that you cannot respect the country. And so obviously the Confederacy had aspects of that, John C. Calhoun, and right now a lot of people on the left think that this is an irredeemably sinful country, that there is no prospect for redemption. And you saw a little bit of that even with how NFL players refused to respect the American flag while they were in London playing an exhibition game or playing a game over there. But they did stand for God Save the Queen. You know, it's kind of a really striking moment when you're on foreign soil, not respecting your symbols, but you are respecting in other countries.
To me, this has been a little bit like the March for Women shortly after Donald Trump's inauguration, where I couldn't figure out exactly what anyone was protesting, but they were protesting nonetheless. What exactly is being protested by NFL players who are taking a knee or doing whatever it is they are doing, staying off the field during the national anthem?
So I just want to mention, because that's a really good question and I think speaks to the problems that this protest movement has, but I always associate kneeling with such respect. You know, it's something that I only do at church. You know, we kneel when we confess our sins, when we pray. I mean, do it at church and at home, but, you know, confession of sins, prayer, during the words of institution. And it's such a symbol to me of humility before God, and it's a way to be reverent. So I never quite get it when all these people are protesting, you know, the entire Georgetown law faculty just took a knee before Senator Sessions. And I thought, well, that's pretty respectful to do that. But Colin Kaepernick said that his protest movement was designed to deal with racism, systematic oppression of black people in this country. And he spoke about Black Lives Matter and police violence. This weekend, the media characterized the taking a knee as resistance to Donald Trump. There's not a lot of message cohesion, and I think one of the problems is people don't actually know what they're protesting. And even if it is one of these more limited things, what's the goal of the protest? What's the thing that will get you back standing up instead of being on your knees? I don't think anyone's articulated that. And when you have such a nebulous goal, it makes it difficult to rally the troops.
So, I mean, do we kind of have to go case by case in answering that question? What are they mad about in America? Or should we just assume, because I imagine if you ask some of them, they might even have particular gripes about either Donald Trump or the United States of America.
Well, I don't know. And, you know, one of the things people say is this is so good that we're having a conversation about these problems. I don't even hear the conversation happening. I don't know what the protest is exactly. I think I'm sympathetic to some of the issues, and yet I don't even know because it hasn't been well articulated. And so in order to have a conversation, you have to be specific. You have to be not just speaking, but listening to what people say in response. And that seems to be the thing that nobody in this country is doing right now. Making a case and then listening to how people respond to it and engaging the different arguments and the disagreements.
You write about the NFL's inconsistency here. What are you talking about?
Well, The NFL has chosen to support players who are protesting the national anthem, and this despite the fact that there are regulations that they could use to punish players who are not standing during the anthem. But at other times, they're really rigorous about these rules. You know, if people want to respect 9/11 victims or the cops who were killed at a Black Lives Matter-related protest last year, the NFL threatens to fine them or says they can't do it. They punish people for making a scene in the end zone if they have a really good catch, but then they don't punish here. And that level of inconsistency is picked up on by the people. And also they have all these other issues which make it seem like the NFL is just very anxious to avoid talking about either traumatic brain injuries that have been associated with so many people who play professional football, or their domestic abuse problems, or their other problems with off-field antics. And so to act like they're these really, you know, defenders of freedom at this point when they're not really very consistent in the rest of the year, it smells a bit.
Why do you say that the terms of the debate don't work in the NFL's favor?
Well, just like how I mentioned that kneeling is such a sign of respect, that it's very confusing how that's supposed to be a protest of any kind, you know, in the same way that being on the side of opposing the national anthem and the flag are politically disadvantageous positions. You don't normally rally people to your side by opposing, you know, moms, apple pie, the flag, patriotism. And here Donald Trump sensing an opportunity, you know, people, the studies have shown that people actually are fed up with these protests and that nobody's doing anything about them. And they've stopped watching the NFL. I mean, their ratings are in decline. I don't think it's going to get much better. And they've positioned themselves to be opposed to Donald Trump, the flag, the national anthem, patriotism, troops. It just is not a very compelling argument, in part because I think they didn't think through this protest movement. You know, successful protest movements really think through their symbols, who will be their leaders, you know, picking someone like Rosa Parks to make the case that about racism in the transportation system was brilliant, and it wasn't accidental. I mean, a lot of thought went into this. The March for Civil Rights in Washington, a lot of thought went into how to present the case that Black people deserve equal treatment under the law. And this is sort of thrown together. I mean, Bob Costas said that he gets the feeling that Colin Kaepernick is someone who just took a freshman semester and is spouting off without having really thought about it. I'm not sure how well it's going to go for the NFL to continue down this road.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Molly Hemingway about the NFL national anthem protest, especially about the NFL's, as she says, taking the debate of the president's tweets and public comments. Stay tuned.
Religious liberty is an issue I think that we as Christians need to get out in front of.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whether it's willful or simple ignorance, the media have badly misrepresented this issue. It is also vital that all Americans understand just how foundational religious liberty and freedom of conscience are to the preservation of all American freedoms. And this is something that even those Americans who aren't religious should understand and agree with. I also happen to believe that we as Lutherans, with our understanding of Two Kingdoms theology, are in an excellent position to be the explainers and ambassadors of this issue.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for religious liberty at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 16th century.
Lord,
the 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the NFL National Anthem protest with Molly Hemingway, a Fox News contributor, senior editor at The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Five Problems with the NFL's National Anthem Protest. By the way, you can meet and hear Molly Hemingway and her husband Mark at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. They'll be making the case for religious liberty and for Christians engaging the news media. Attendance is limited to 400. Registration is $120 and includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. You can learn more and register by calling 618-223-8385 or at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston. Molly, talk a little bit about the NFL response to, well, you mentioned before, President Trump's tweets and his public comments. And as you say, the NFL took the bait.
I mean, when you saw Donald Trump making the speech, this was Friday in Alabama, where he's like, wouldn't you like to see these people get fired? I thought, there's no way that people will take this bait, that they will actually get on the other side of this issue. In November, Donald Trump said that people who burn the flag should be thrown into jail. This is such a popular position that I think, you know, people might forget that Hillary Clinton advocated huge fines for people who burn the flag. Anyway, I was on MSNBC at that time, and everyone in D.C. was having their typical reaction to something Donald Trump said about how scary this was and how this was a sign of the end of the First Amendment and whatnot. And Chris Matthews, the host, was just pointing out that this was really stupid analysis because people actually hate flag burners and it really bothers them, particularly people with military background and whatnot. They can get really riled, even if they think it should be legal and no punishment for it. It's just kind of the mark of a bad person if you're burning a flag. And here, once again, it's not hard to be speaking in favor of the country and its ideals, and yet, you know, we seem to be in a contest of idiocy where people just choose the worst way to respond to difficult times.
I also got the sense that the NFL wasn't paying much attention to their own ratings in the midst of all of this, because they weren't great to begin with.
Well, I think the NFL actually is quite worried about it. If you read the stories from July where before the season even started, they knew they had a problem, and there were polls showing that of active sports fans who had stopped watching the NFL, and by the way, I'm one of these people who stopped watching football, that the number one reason they cited were these protests. So they're aware of the problem. I think they all felt they had to respond a certain way to what President Trump had said, although you'll notice that the owners all had slightly different responses, some very up in arms about what President Trump had said, and others that just kind of tried to ride out the controversy without either offending players who were protesting and those fans that were with them or the other side. But the NFL has a problem. For me, by the way, I stopped watching football, and it has nothing to do with politics. I just got really bored, and I thought it was a waste of time, and I had been a diehard fan. So I know, and I've talked to so many people who are like that. You know, I used to never miss a game, and now I never watch a game. I haven't even watched a Super Bowl in years. So they have an issue.
What role has the media played in all of this?
Mostly making things stupider. I think the media took some very legitimate criticisms of President Trump. I mean, the first night he spoke, he was speaking sort of hypothetically about firing people who aren't patriotic. He'd previously addressed the protests and had been very generous about it, that, you know, he didn't like people protesting the flag, but of course they have the right to do it. He made a little comment like that on Friday, but by the next morning he was more explicitly calling for their firing. That's just an inappropriate role for the president to take when you're president of all people, you know, and it was inappropriate when President Obama would do similar things, you know, against like that Benghazi YouTuber guy. But the media instead decided to say that what was really happening here was that Donald Trump was picking out black people to be racist against. And this is just such a ridiculous argument to make when, if there's one thing we know about President Trump, it's that he is an absolute equal opportunity insulter. And he, if you know him, you know he insults people. You know he insults everybody. Anybody who gets on his bad side will come in for the most extreme opprobrium from him. So the idea that this is something that he reserves for black people is just on its face so stupid. Yes, the people who are doing the protest are, like the people who are doing the NFL protest at least, are, I think, mostly black people. I'm not even sure if they're all black people. But that's just, it's just an argument that's not going to pass muster. And people are kind of sick of any disagreement being treated as racism. And if the election of Donald Trump weren't proof of that enough, I don't know what it will take.
Two final questions for you here. One is my kind of my personal perspective. I haven't watched the NFL in years. There's enough baseball on to keep me busy, and that's been disappointing enough for other reasons. But I just have a hard time. It's the same thing if I see a Hollywood celebrity out there who gets limousined into a protest and marches for a while, while the cameras are on. When they're gone, they go home. And they may be sincere in their feelings about this, but, you know, when you're living that life and you have benefited that way from the largesse and of the American people, don't complain. That's kind of how I feel. You have a right to your opinions and your viewpoints, but don't use the forum in which you are hired to earn your money, your big amounts of money, as a way of, you know, protesting whatever it is you're protesting. You're a millionaire. I'm sorry. You don't have that many worries. What are your thoughts there?
I think it's a little unfair because people who are wealthy or who have been blessed unbelievably have the same right to protest as any other American. You know, I'd actually even say it the same as people kept saying when President Trump was criticizing these people that, well, they have First Amendment freedoms. And it's like, they do, and so does the president. And we all have the right to respond however we want. We all have the freedom to speak what we want to here. And if someone thinks that because they have been given a better stage from which to express their viewpoint because they have benefited so much from the American system, which they are opposing, I think that's their business and people are free to respond how they want. But I will say that's what sets so many people off about seeing this protest happen in another country. It is one thing to have your disagreements internally, and even in the United States, people think that there's a better time and place than to disrespect the flag or the national anthem. But when you're going to another country and you're being completely respectful of their symbols and then not being that way with your own, I think that set a lot of people off. I mean, I have a friend who is totally simpatico with the criminal justice reform and issues brought up by Black Lives Matter. And when she saw what happened in London, she was livid. And so I think people should know that they do have to tread a little bit carefully when they're benefiting from a system that they're also claiming is corrupt, that that message will be difficult to convey and that they should think about how they're attempting to persuade people. Oh, that's on that note, one of the things that's interesting is that when Colin Kaepernick began his protest, opposition to Black Lives Matter was at 20%, and most recently a Harvard-Harris poll showed that it had tripled to 60%, or nearly 60%. So if I were these people engaged in these protests, I'd be thinking about what I'm actually accomplishing. You know, there is no dialogue happening. They say they want to raise awareness. Well, everyone's aware of the issue. What's actually happening to change? How are lives being improved? What are the goals and how are they being accomplished is what I think they should ask at this point.
Finally, your husband, Mark Hemingway, wrote a column for The Federalist recently titled What the NFL Could Learn from MLK and the Civil Rights Protests. How would you summarize it?
Well, again, that, you know, we, and I think of a lot of protests in relation to the pro-life movement and what's been successful for the pro-life movement. If you want to accomplish change, you know, the great thing about this country is that we are a democratic republic and we have many means of accomplishing change, but you have to think about how you're doing it. And the most important thing is to persuade people. And that's why I brought up what was happening, about the lack of persuasion that's happening, or the persuasion that's going in the opposite direction of what its intenders, of what people would intend who are doing this protest movement. So you do need to think about, you know, when in the very successful civil rights era, which unified so many black and white people together to work for changes at the, you know, both in the governmental level and just the cultural level about how white people were treating black people. There was a lot of attention paid to making the case respectfully and to making it so that people would feel comfortable with the change. And a lot was accomplished. I mean, more was accomplished by some of these people than 1,000 rioters, you know, on working for years in the streets. And you do have to think about your image. You have to think about your case, your arguments, how tightly scripted those arguments are. You have to think about what natural responses will be to them so that you can kind of rebut them or anticipate them. That is just not happening right now. I mean, social media is not a forum, and these protest movements are not really accomplishing. They're not raising awareness. They're not, whatever that means, they're not getting people to change their minds. And most importantly, if you do care about criminal justice reform or issues like that, we're not seeing the progress there that you would hope to see.
Molly Hemingway is a Fox News contributor, senior editor at The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Five Problems with the NFL's National Anthem Protest. Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll be talking about the vocation of singleness on the other side of the break with Kelly Schumacher of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts. What's missing from a lot of Christian conversation about the vocation of being single? We'll answer that question after this.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Creo en Dios Padre Todopoderoso. Millones confesan los credos cada semana. ¿Pero por qué? Aprende más sobre los credos cristianos y las confesiones luteranas este mes en The Lutheran Witness. Recibe 6 ediciones de la revista principal de la Iglesia Luterana Sínodo de Missouri para $6.99 por visitar a cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.